In this episode of Nightmare Echoes, Eleazar and Margot cover the 2009 horror comedy Jennifer's Body, while referencing other horror movies such as Scream 4, Rosemary's Baby, and Hunt. The next movies we have on the schedule are Insidious, The Craft, Pan's Labyrinth, and the 1968 Night of the Living Dead. So please subscribe if you don't want to miss any of those. Enjoy the episode! Back to Nightmare Echoes. I'm your host Eleazar. I'm joined again by host Margot. Margot, how's it going?
Hello.
Hey, what are we covering today, Margot?
Jennifer's Body.
So you recommended this. I had not seen it before. I've seen it three times now to review
too
for this.
Many.
I don't know. I liked it. I liked it.
Too many so close together, I'd say.
No, maybe. I just wanted to study it. At first, I wasn't sure that it was for me, but the more times I watched it, the more I studied it, the more I liked about the movie. But I mean, obviously, you like it, right?
I think it's an interesting movie. I don't know that I would say I like it per se. I mean, I don't dislike it, but it's not like a movie that I would just watch for fun on my own.
Okay.
Yeah, without a reason to watch it.
Okay, I could see that.
Yeah.
All right, well, it's directed by Karen Kusama and written by Diablo Cody.
Mm-hmm.
And I know she just wrote Lisa Frankenstein. It just came out. I haven't got to see yet.
Yeah, she was very famous for Juno,
right, yeah.
Which had a real chokehold on the culture for a little bit.
It did. It was really good. I kept quoting, it's not an etch-and-sketch. That's one doodle that can't be undone. But she takes the pregnancy. She takes like five pregnancy tests in a row. But it stars Megan Fox as Jennifer Check and Amanda Seyfried. Did I say that right?
Seyfried? Yeah, I don't know.
As Needy. It had a budget of $16 million and made $31.6 million, which I think the box office, they didn't consider enough to be like a really
profitable.
Made a profit. Yeah. Well, they say that the amount you spend to make the movie is what they spend to advertise the movie.
Oh, so no.
And so it just almost came out even.
Okay.
I mean, it has a cult following now, so they might have made their money back from like Blu-ray sales and stuff like that. Anything you want to say beforehand that's spoiler-free if people haven't seen it?
No, I can say that it's chicken approved.
Yeah.
Not scary.
Not scary?
not to me.
Okay. All right. I think the director and the writer would say that there's definitely scary parts in it.
Okay. I guess. It's not overly scary. I'll say that. Chickens can watch it.
Chickens can watch. Chicken approved. Well, okay. Well, we're going to spoil the whole thing. If you haven't seen it, it's up to you if you want to go watch it or not. I enjoyed it. I think it was a lot of fun. But we're going to ruin the whole thing if you haven't seen it. So we open the movie and Jennifer Check is watching TV. She looks really sick in her bed. She's watching exercise infomercial and we get our title card that says Jennifer's Body. When Jennifer looks out of the window, we see Needy outside the window staring back at her. We get a voiceover that's saying that hell is a teenage girl. And then we cut to Needy in a mental institution, insane asylum. What do we call them now?
I'm mental institution.
Yeah,
mental
right?
Institution. Yeah, I still haven't said institution. There you go.
And that Needy's telling us while she isn't perfect, she gets letters every day. We span over her whole floor that shows all these packages with toys, stuffed animals. There's a lot of religious symbols, Jesus on a cross. She says they're mostly letters from perverts and Chesters. What is a Chester?
I don't know.
I tried to Google this, and this is a term I could not figure out.
You think it's just something they made up for the movie?
I mean,
like Chester Cheetah?
I think they make a few things up, too, later.
Yeah.
Salty means sexy? Because, when someone's salty, I think they're bitter.
Yeah.
Like, they're, upset about something.
Yeah, they're being kind of, snarky.
Right.
Yeah.
But Jennifer Check, no, Needy calls Jennifer salty, and she means sexy when she refers to it later.
All right, fine.
I think they make a lot of stuff up.
Okay.
She says that a lot of the letters are from people that are asking her to accept Jesus. And she's like, I do that every day and nothing happens. We see her walking through Gen Pop and everyone's wearing orange. She calls all the activities that are happening outside the Mental Olympics. And she goes to punch a ball. It looks like she's just bored, but it rips the ball right off the court.
Mm-hmm.
Lunchtime, all she has on her plate looks to me like a Pop-Tart, but they call them Toastums. I don't know if it's a copyright thing or if Toastums is actually a brand.
I feel like Toastums is something.
Is it a brand?
But maybe not. I don't know.
And she talks about her paperwork and that she's labeled a kicker.
Mm-hmm.
A doctor comes over to say, I see you only have one Toastum on your plate there. I don't think that's a significant amount of food.
Mm-hmm.
She tells her to shut the fuck up, spits on her, and then kicks her and sends her onto a table, like pushing all these people's food. It like she flies across the room, mm-hmm. and it's like, what the heck? This girl is strong, mm-hmm. which is pretty crazy. And then it takes a few orderlies to subdue her, and then they give her a shot so that she can stop attacking people. Yeah. I guess. They put her in solitary confinement, and an intercom starts playing music, and it's like elevator music, but it is the like the song of the town. What's the name of this
totally
thing?
I totally missed that. Something the trees? Something about
through
trees?
Through the trees. I've actually loved this song now. I listened to it in my car lately. I checked out the soundtrack. Like, it's so funny. And then she tells us she used to be normal, a normal teenage girl with hormones, and that was normal until the killing started. And then the rest of this is a flashback. So we start with the name of the town, which is Devil's Kettle, and it's named after this waterfall. Did you know the waterfall is real?
Oh, no.
There's a real waterfall. Scientists for years have been trying to really figure out where it goes. They mm-hmm. think they have theories and where it exits, but uh-huh. it's not like concrete proof.
Oh, funny.
But it's this real waterfall that people throw something in and lose forever.
Oh, funny.
It's crazy. And then they say 2 months ago, her, Jennifer, her boyfriend, Chip, were all normal high schoolers. We see Jennifer is like the head cheerleader in this dance. Her boyfriend, Chip, is in the marching band. And she's staring at Jennifer very longingly because mm-hmm. they're best friends. There's another girl there mm-hmm. named Chastity who accuses Needy of being in love with Jennifer. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, we're just best friends. Mm-hmm. She just is like,
yeah, this is a theme throughout.
Right. Chastity is played by Valerie Tian, who was Su Qin in Juno.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Which is cool.
Yeah. I was just going to say, have we already established that Jennifer's like this popular cheerleader and Needy's kind of like a nerdy...
No, we haven't talked about that at all. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, is it obvious at this part of the movie, or is that
I think, Jennifer's looked at as that, like, we obviously see her. She looks like she's the head cheerleader here.
Yeah.
Very popular. And Needy, they just dress her more nerdy.
Yeah, she's, like, really conservatively dressed.
Right, exactly.
Like, she wears glasses, so how you can tell she's nerdy. You know?
Right. I think a different set of glasses would have looked more attractive on her.
Well, I think a common thing was she was dressed badly through this whole movie.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, there you go. And, well, I mean, you have to dress her badly because it's Amanda Siegfried. I mean, she's
right.
She's very beautiful.
Yeah, there. Yes, so. Exactly. Jennifer is at Needy's locker, and she's telling her that she wants her to go out to a bar with her to see mm-hmm. a band called Low Shoulder. Needy wants, or she's supposed to hang out with Chip, but Jennifer tells her to drop her plans, and she just drops her plans mm-hmm. like it's nothing. Jennifer ends the conversation by telling Needy to wear something cute. I just wanted to point out: did you know that that her last name was a placeholder in the script?
No.
Like they just put Czech as a generic name, and they're like, we'll fix it later. Uh-huh. And they never thought of a better name. So they just left it as Czech.
No, I didn't notice.
That's pretty funny. So we get Needy is in her room with Chip, and she's getting dressed. She's trying to find something in Jennifer's definition of cute, which means don't upstage her, but wear something pretty, mm-hmm. which I think is pretty funny. Chip wants to know who in the band Jennifer's after. And Needy says, girls like her don't go after a drummer. Yeah. And he acts offended.
Oh, is he a drummer, right?
I think so, right? And then she's like, oh, I'm pretty sure if you sang and drum, she might make an exception for you. And he goes, oh, like Phil Collins. And Needy has no idea who that is.
Yeah.
So that's pretty funny. And this is where they talk about salty, that Jennifer's hot because she's salty. And Chip tells her, oh, you're soy sauce.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah, she's very salty. Yeah, I would say that Jennifer and Needy's interaction at the beginning really does seem like they're genuinely friends or more. That's for you to decide.
Yeah, exactly.
But they like seem like they know each other for a long time, and they have like little inside jokes.
They do.
So that was good. Like a lot of times, like friends in movies, I'm like, are you friends? I don't know.
Sure. Well, yeah, I think the movie drives home that no one believes that they should be friends.
Yeah.
But I think it's very obvious that they
are
friends.
And, like, Jennifer's, like, actually... Because, like, the setup of this very popular girl and this nerdy girl is that she's just, like, using the nerdy girl or whatever. But it seems like Jennifer's, like, genuinely, like, likes Needy. Like, that's her best friend. Her only friend?
Maybe.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so because... She can be a little rude, and I would see that it would be hard to take her in. I mean, they have inside jokes all mm-hmm. the time, like you said. Like, in this scene right here, she yells up, and she's like, hey, stop tamponing yourself and get down here.
Yeah.
Like, we're just like, oh, my gosh. And then they call themselves Monistat and Vagisil.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, my gosh.
The other thing that I found a little interesting is this dynamic. The way that it's presented is that Jennifer has power over Needy. But sure. I don't know. I don't know that's true, because who needs who more, right? Because you see Needy interacting with her very nice boyfriend.
Sure.
Who she's spending a lot of time with, who seems like they seem like they really like each other. Like,
yeah,
they're like friends and dating. Yes,
right.
Yeah. And yeah, she does. Well, as soon as Jennifer's like, no, you're coming with me, she does come with her to the bar to see this band. But I'm like, who needs who more, you know? So I don't know. I thought that was very interesting, because usually, you know, it's the like hot popular one that that's like the one who's, you know.
I do. I agree. Yeah. Like, Chip does seem a little jealous about their relationship, because he says that Needy always drops everything she's doing to hang out with Jennifer. And Needy doesn't see it that way. She's like, no, I know. We're friends.
Yeah.
And he says, you have nothing in common. It's like, we have everything in common.
Yeah.
Whether or not, you know, we believe that or not.
But, you know, honestly, I feel like everybody has those kind of friends that you've just been friends with so long.
Yeah.
Like, what you have in common is your past, right?
Right.
You don't necessarily have anything in common. I mean, as adults, you just, whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that much to have things in common. Yeah, right. But, like, when you're in high school.
Do you have a pulse?
Yeah.
Do you like movies? Let's hang out.
Are you semi-okay? All right. I'll take you. Sure.
Oh, yeah. So when they get downstairs, Jennifer says they smell like Thai food and asks if that means they've been having sex. But Needy acts all innocent, like, gross, which is hilarious. Then they do this, like, push each other back and forth as, like, a playful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ends when Jennifer pushes Needy way too hard into the wall. And then it awkwardly just ends, which is, I don't know, it's just a little weird. And then they argue over the place they're going to.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer says it's a club. Chip says it's not even a bar. It's a bingo hall with a stage. He just points out that he's jealous.
Yeah.
Then they get Melody Lane Tavern.
Oh, Melody.
They get to Melody Lane Tavern. Which, hello, it's not a bar, a club, or a bingo hall. It's a tavern. It's a tavern.
Right. Uh-huh.
It was named after Diablo Cody's grandfather's ice cream shop he had in the 50s and 60s, which is pretty cool. We get a voiceover from Needy. It says that Chip was right. It's not a club because clubs are for attractive people in populous urban areas with DJs and champagne. And all they have is a jukebox and a sticker toilet, which was kind of gross. Right before the sticker toilet, you see a woman holding a drink looking up. That's Diablo Cody.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was pretty cool. And then she's later behind the bar.
Uh-huh.
Our two characters get X's on their hands and let us know that they're not old enough to drink. A boy named Craig says that Jennifer looks pretty. And Jennifer kind of insults him, says he's really bad at math if he thinks that her and him are compatible.
Yeah. She's too hot for him.
Needy points to that Amit is there, and that's our exchange student. Jennifer wants to know if he's circumcised because she's always wanted to try sea cucumber. That's what she calls it. Like, oh my gosh. And then we get Star-Lord, a.k.a. the number one raptor trainer, a.k.a. the Lego man himself, Chris Pratt, playing Roman.
I had such like a double take on that, because I was like, and I'm like, wait a minute. Was that Chris Pratt?
Yeah.
And then I was like, no. And I had seen this movie before. I watched it recently.
Sure.
And I didn't remember that Chris Pratt. But I wonder, when I last saw it, maybe he wasn't super famous
He hadn't
yet.
Even been in, is it Parks and Rec?
Yeah.
He hadn't been in it yet. He started that 4 months after this came out, something like that. So, yeah.
Well, and I don't know. Well, I don't know when I watched, because I watched Parks and Rec after it was already off.
And I know he was.
So I don't know when I watched
bigger
both of them.
In that show.
Well, he was very young in this movie. Extremely
right. Well, he looked
young.
Way fit.
He super thin. Yeah.
He looked as fit as, almost not as fit, but he looked pretty close to his Marvel physique.
I don't think he was muscular, but I think he was definitely thin. For sure.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah, he was like chubby during Parks and Rec. But yeah, he was super young. Very, very young.
So my first thought is like, wait, are they dating? Because she's in high school. She might be 18.
Yeah.
But then he pulls a cigarette out of her mouth saying that she shouldn't do that poison. Yeah. And if he continues, she's going to arrest her. Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh, then she's not 18.
Yeah, maybe they went to high school together.
Maybe. But then like she grabs him down there and he's like, hey, don't do that in public.
Yeah. I get it. But you just feel like they have like some kind of relationship, a situationship, if you will.
Situationship. Oh my gosh. Needy points out that the band is arriving, which gets Jennifer's attention. Jennifer's excited to see them, and Roman thinks that they wear too much eyeliner, and that means they just like men. Jennifer says that he's small time, and I actually agree with Jennifer on this one.
Yeah.
You know, I was sure. Like, oh, it's like, I didn't think I'd be agreeing with Jennifer much in this movie. But Roman uses his cue to walk away. Jennifer says they need two new groupies, and Needy doesn't agree. Jennifer, this is a funny scene. Jennifer grabs Needy's boobs, saying that they're smart bombs, and if she points him in the right direction, shit gets real. Oh man, that was one of the director's favorite lines that Diablo Cody did. She's like, because I listened to the commentary and they're complimenting each other, which is pretty funny. And then Jennifer introduces herself to Nikolai, and she refers to Needy as a friend, like he doesn't need to know her name. But to be fair, Nikolai says, oh, these are the band. Mm-hmm. He also
is
doesn't tell him.
Brody, or is this another guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Right, yeah. Nikolai's the lead singer.
I don't know anyone's name ever. You know that. Sure. I barely know Needy and Jennifer.
This is why you have to watch it three times.
The title of the movie.
Yeah, Adam Brody. He was also in Ready or Not, which I know you haven't seen yet, which I thought he was also Detective Haas in Scream 4.
Oh, okay.
Which is, just gets stabbed in the back. Spoiler alert. Uh-huh. Stabbed in the back. Okay. Needy asks why they would want to play in Devil's Kettle when they live in a big city. And I love Nikolai's answer. He's like, well, if we find it's really important to play where the real fans are, even in shitty areas too. And Needy's like, wait, what? Like, Jennifer offers to buy them a 911 drink or 911 drink. It's red, white, and blue, unless you drink, but you have to drink it really fast or it turns all brown. And Needy asks how she's going to get the alcohol, and she's like, I'll just play Hello Titty with the bartender. And when she goes to get the drink, it's Diablo Cody again. Then Needy goes to play pinball, and Jennifer goes to get the two drinks. The band members are discussing if Jennifer's the right girl because Nikolai believes that she's a virgin.
Why?
Oh,
he has an explanation.
Yeah? Do you remember exactly what it is?
I don't, that she's being too forward and that means she's hiding that she's a virgin or something? She's, was that it?
Yeah, like she's trying to oversell the idea that she's experienced.
Yeah.
That she's like, yeah, to hide behind the fact.
Yeah, I've never
that
heard
she's
of
that.
I've never heard of this personally. Yeah.
Oh man. Needy goes up to talk to the band members. She tells Jennifer that the band members are creeps, mm-hmm, and that they only want her because they think she's a virgin. Jennifer says she's not even a backdoor virgin anymore, mm-hmm, thanks to Roman. And then she says, by the way, that hurts. I couldn't even go to Flags the next day. I don't know if she meant Six Flags.
I guess. I
but
don't know what, yeah.
She says she had to stay home and sit on a bag of peas.
Yikes.
Like, oh no. The band starts. Jennifer puts down the drinks and runs up front. Nikolai yells out, good evening, Devil's Lake. And someone in the audience yells, Devil's Kettle. And he goes, damn right it is. like, oh man. Oh, and then while they're playing this song, which we're going to learn to love, mm-hmm, throughout the whole thing, I love it.
You know what's so funny is this song is very of its time, for
yeah,
sure. Like, I could definitely hear that song being played on the radio at that time.
Yeah.
And be a great hit.
The guy that played the bassist, uh-huh, in the band wrote the song.
Oh, funny.
So he wrote it for the movie, which is pretty neat. But while they're playing this, a fire just starts from the lighting. We're not actually sure how it starts. Mm-hmm. Diablo Cody kind of wanted it to be, we're not sure if it's just like evil. Ambiguous. Made it start, yeah.
Or they purposely made it start.
Or they purposely made it, yeah, we're not sure. And then Nikolai's laughing as he sees the fire, and Jennifer seems to be in some sort of trance. And while...
Yeah, because she's in, like, shock.
Yeah, so Needy's trying to pull her out. We see Amit, and it looks like a support beam falls on him. Mm-hmm. And we think he's killed, spoiler alert. Mm-hmm. We think he's killed.
Yeah.
Just then, Nikolai appears with a drink outside, saying he's been looking for them everywhere, but it doesn't look like he has. Mm-hmm. It looks like he's been drinking. And Jennifer's on the ground. He's like, here, have a drink. And he puts it in her mouth.
He obviously does not care about the fire at all.
Well, he tips it into her mouth, so she's like got no choice but to swallow it, trying to get her drunker, which is pretty crazy. And then he's like, hey, you know, in times like these, I like to go to someplace comfortable that I'm familiar with. Right now, I think that's my van. I think we should all go to my van. It's like super creepy.
Yeah, I mean, Jennifer is obviously in shock.
Yeah.
She's like not processing it, and he drags her off to the van.
Yeah, and Needy's trying to get her to stop, but Jennifer's
not
like,
very hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess she's used to Jennifer just being like, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm sure. Like, I was like, I was like, you're kind of being a bad friend at this point. I'd be like, absolutely no, you are not getting in that van.
Well, she tells her like to stop, that she wants to go.
I know, but still. Yeah. I was like, but that's just me.
Creepy.
This is coming from an adult, you know,
yes,
not in a high
right.
schooler.
Yeah.
Not even like somebody in college who'd probably be like, yeah, it's fine. So anyway, but yeah, this is like very traumatic for Jennifer.
Yeah,
like,
it's a big event.
This is when you start really feeling bad, or I start feeling bad for Jennifer. I'm like,
sure.
She's like obviously in shock. She's upset. And she just gets like kidnapped by these guys in this van who are taking advantage of her.
They are. Anyway. Yeah. No, I agree. I think the whole, like, I know we don't get there yet, but the whole idea behind this is they're using a woman's body for their own purposes.
Right.
Not what we would think at this moment that they're going to use her for. But I think it's a big plot point in the movie of like where we go to from here.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's interesting. Mm-hmm. So Needy watches them drive off and we hear police sirens coming in the background.
Mm-hmm.
When Needy gets home, she calls Chip, who is asleep in his bed, but he does answer the phone. And Needy fills him in what happens. He wants to know what the make and model of the van is. And she's like, I don't know, an 89 rapist? Which I thought was pretty funny in a sad, funny way.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be funny, but I was laughing.
Yeah.
Then someone rings the doorbell and scares Needy, who is all alone because her mom works the night shift.
Mm-hmm.
Chip asks if she wants him to come over, and she's like, I don't know. She opens the front door, but no one's there. We do see a shadow move inside the house. Now, in the original, they originally filmed it, you could see Jennifer there,
mm-hmm.
and then they digitally removed her and left the shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said this was homage to, spoiler alert for Rosemary's Baby, 55-year-old movie.
Mm-hmm. I think we're okay to spoil Rosemary's Baby.
So at the end of that movie, she thinks she's locked herself in her apartment and she's safe, but they don't know that there's a secret passage into her house, or she doesn't know that, although I felt like it was so obvious at the beginning of the movie, and that they're tiptoeing in the background behind her. And so this was Diablo Cody's homage to Rosemary's Baby, where we don't know, the main character doesn't know that people are in the house,
but we know people
are in the house. And then she lets Chip go on the phone. She thinks she's fine. But she hears something, checks the basement door first. Then she walks in the kitchen and she sees Jennifer, who is just covered in blood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just dripping from her mouth. It's crazy. As Needy asks what happens, you see Jennifer's got this crazy smile. Like she's loved what happened to her. It's interesting.
Yeah, like she's not like a crazy smile.
It is, right?
It's not like it's an unhinged smile.
And then Jennifer goes to raid the fridge and eats chicken from Boston Market, which Needy's trying to tell her, oh, I don't think we're allowed to eat that.
Yeah.
You know, my mom got that one. And then Jennifer lets out this half growl, half scream, which I actually thought was scary at this part.
Okay.
When that happened, I thought that was like, oh, what the crap?
Yeah.
And then she starts to choke on the chicken and then projectiles this dark red liquid all over Needy's floor.
Was it red?
Okay, sure.
I mean, I
think it was like a really, really dark red.
Whatever.
But maybe. Maybe it's black.
It doesn't matter. I don't know why I made a point to mention it.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it is black. It's really dark in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's very gross.
What'd you think of the scene?
Very gross.
Yeah, it was very gross. I was obviously added CGI. In the original way they filmed it, it was a lot less.
Mm-hmm.
And the Needy's describing it the way we see it in the film to the to Chip later.
Mm-hmm.
And when they did this in front of audiences, audiences said that they didn't trust Needy. They thought she was
made her an unreliable narrator.
Yes, exactly. That's what they wrote. And so they went in and
You know what? To me, that would make it more interesting if Needy was an unreliable narrator.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Then we wouldn't know what to think of the whole movie.
Yeah. Is like what happened to Jennifer real, or is Needy making it up in her head? And then she goes to like an insane asylum. I don't know. That would have been interesting.
That is true. But they digitally enhanced it to make it look like the way Needy describes it.
Yeah.
So the audience would then trust Needy going forward.
I guess it wasn't the intent to make her an unreliable narrator. But yeah, it was definitely like of its time CGI. It wasn't like really good CGI, but you know.
Sure. There's a scene here right before she goes that Jennifer looks like she like puts Needy against the wall. Looks like she's going to bite Needy.
Mm-hmm.
Needy starts crying, but then Jennifer leaves the house. Needy cries for Jennifer to come back.
Is this like, we see her like demon teeth or something at this point, or is that later?
No, I think that's later when she's with the football player.
Okay. Yeah. So, so obviously there's something wrong with Jennifer, but we don't know yet.
Yeah.
But I want to point out that something horrible has just happened to Jennifer, and where does she go? To her friend Needy's
house.
And something happened to Needy, and who does she call?
Chip.
Yeah, just saying.
Well, she also was scared that Jennifer wasn't.
Well,
she couldn't have called Jennifer.
That is true.
But yeah, you're right.
Well, she doesn't like try to, she doesn't, I don't know, I'm just like, Needy, you just let Jennifer go off, and then you're just like, I don't know. what to do. Call the police or something. I don't know, man.
We get a small clip of the rescue teams cleaning up the fire and all the rubble that's there at the tavern. The next day at school, Needy is remembering her and Jennifer as they were kids at a playground. The kid Needy stuck her thumb with a tack and Jennifer cleans the blood with her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Needy asks Jennifer not to tell her mom or she'll be given a shot. Jennifer promises never to tell.
Oh, wait, we missed an important part.
Okay.
I forgot. When they're about to leave to go to the show, the music show, before Jennifer arrives, Needy like knows she's there. Like,
oh, really?
She's like, yeah, you don't remember this part?
I thought she yelled up.
No, she like says to Chip, oh, she's here. And he's like, that's really freaky when you do that or something like that.
Oh, okay. So she senses her.
It's like foreshadowing.
Man, okay, that's good.
All right.
Good pointing out. All right. So then at school, she's daydreaming about when they were kids. And Jennifer snaps her out of it when she's like, what's up, Monistat?
Mm-hmm.
And Needy's shocked and Jennifer seems okay and herself again. Needy tries to explain why she would think Jennifer's not all right. And Jennifer's like, you always overreact since we were kids. She's like, I cleaned up that blood forever. Mm-hmm. Look at my hands. And she's like, you need a manicure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You need a manicure.
Yeah, she's blowing it off.
Yeah, she just blows it off. The teacher comes in and he's, you know, talks about the tragedy and everything. And Jennifer's just being rude the entire time.
It's J.K. Simmons.
Oh, yeah.
And for some reason, he's missing a hand. What was that about?
And he has this crazy wig on.
Yeah, I don't know.
And he's missing a hand.
And it has nothing to do with the plot at all.
It doesn't.
It's not explained. It's not brought up at all. It's just like he wanted to wear a wig and a fake hand. I don't know what that's about.
I'm sure the director wanted him to.
I know, but why?
I don't know. To make him a different character.
Just for something fun, I guess. Yeah.
Oh, man. So he, you know, he comes in to grieve about the night before. He's talking about the loss of one of their students and family. And when he mentions the loss of Amit, Jennifer seems to get a smile on her face. And another student who's Jonas, the football player, he's wearing a leather jacket. He's crying. The teacher gives him a tissue. And we see that's where we first see he's got a prosthetic hand when he goes for the tissue.
Yeah.
In the hallway, more students are crying. Chip comes over to say the band practice is canceled. Needy says everything is canceled. And she said that she tries to tell Chip what happened. And Chip just thinks Jennifer inhaled too much smoke. He thinks that Needy needs to talk to the school psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
And Needy gets a bit defensive.
I mean, he's very upset about the whole thing. And Jennifer doesn't care one lick. She's like, whatever.
All right. Then we meet Colin, a goth student, who comes up to say that he heard Needy was there. And he's glad that she didn't die. Colin is played by Kyle Gallner, who was in Scream 5, or Scream.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in Smile. But I remember him as Smallville's version of The Flash.
Mm-hmm.
He was Impulse.
I don't remember that, but he looks very familiar to me and I could not place him. So I will not do an IMDb search to see why.
You're good. I just loved him. Like, looking back, I looked it up. He's only in 4 episodes of Smallville, but he made such an impression on me.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was just so good. Chip's like, oh, that's weird. Why are you talking to Colin? And she's like, oh, we have creative writing together and he's all dark and emotional and stuff. And Chip's like, I'm those things too.
he's a little jealous,
right? And then at the football field, Jonas is standing alone, sad about his friend Craig, who died in the fire.
Craig was the one who had hit on Jennifer and that she said she was too hot for, right?
Right. Okay, he's the one that she said he's bad at math.
Yeah.
Right. Then Jennifer approaches Craig and she's like, you know, I was probably the last one to ever saw him. Do you know the last thing he said to me? He said, you and me would make a totally banging couple.
Yeah, he definitely said that. Right.
And Jonas is like, he said banging? like that doesn't sound like
yeah.
it. Oh, man. And then Jennifer places his hand on her chest, asking it if you feel that. It's her heart and it's broken. And Jonas says that his is too. And she asks him to go with her for a little while. Because Craig, it's what Craig would have wanted, which is so ridiculous. All right, in the woods, they start to make out, and Jonas notices that Jennifer is really warm. Right after that, he notices that all this wildlife has come.
Yeah.
Like, all the deers and other animals come see this crazy thing. She then unzips Jonas, and under the screen, under the camera, she starts to stroke him.
Uh-huh.
She asks if he's enjoying it, and she asks if he still misses Craig. Uh-huh. And he's like, of course I do, which I don't think is the answer she was expecting. She says that you'll see him real soon. And he's like, you mean one day in heaven? She goes, nope. Shoves him against a tree.
Nope.
And this is where she gets her monster face on. Well, she had, like, unzipped her jacket first.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's to not get it dirty.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like why?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. So she has something to cover up the blood with.
Right.
Yeah.
And as he's screaming, we cut to their teacher again, who's in the parking lot hearing him screaming. And he's like, just let it out, guys. Just let it out.
Yeah.
Crazy. Needy's cooking in the kitchen and listening to the radio. This is where we see her pet ferret, who may not have a reason to be there. I don't know.
Never comes up again.
Never comes up again. And they're reporting on the vents, and they're reporting that Lowell's shoulder was at the scene rescuing people from the fire.
I don't remember that.
And they've been labeled heroes. I don't remember that either. It turns out the band is there for an interview, and Nikolai comes on the radio saying that the real heroes are the people of Devil's Lake. Mm. He still can't get the name right. We cut back to their teacher, Mr. Robalski, I'm bad with that name, who had went on in the woods to check on the student he heard crying, and this is where he finds a deer eating Jonas's intestines.
Mm-hmm.
Like his belly's ripped open and the deer just...
I don't feel like a deer would eat intestines.
Or maybe it's just licking the blood.
What? Yeah, but they're herbivores.
Yeah, okay, I don't know. Well, that's what...
I should have a fox eating or something.
I saw it in the movie. It's
I mean, you're
true.
Right. That is what happened. I'm just saying. Why a deer? But okay.
Yeah, I don't know. And the Needy's mom wakes up to tell her about the nightmare she had where Needy was being hunted by a mob that was there to nail her to a tree with hammers and big stakes. And then we cut to Jonas being taken away in a body bag and his parents are there crying.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently in the director's cut, or, you know, aka the unrated version, which had no more nudity or cursing of any kind. Mm-hmm. It was just footage the director wanted in there.
Mm-hmm.
Had a lot more scenes of parents crying over the victims.
Uh-huh.
She said it was like something that we don't experience a lot. In horror, we never focus on the aftermath of all these deaths. We just focus on the killing.
Yeah,
so it's interesting.
True. That is true.
Now we get the big Jennifer swimming naked in the lake scene. Megan Fox is wearing a skin tone bikini here, and then they digitally take out any evidence where you could see the bikini.
Mm-hmm.
But she did this to get the blood off of her body. The director said that she had her swim so that she seemed more animalistic at this time.
Mm.
Like now she's a creature. She's not a human anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer's on the phone with Needy, and Jennifer is telling her how amazing her body feels. Needy says that she's still down because of the fire, and Jennifer tells her to moveon.org because it's over.
Who cares?
Right. Needy points out that Jennifer is being insensitive, and Jennifer says that Needy should be happy for her because she's having the best day since Jesus invented the calendar. Another call comes in. It's Chip, and he asks Needy to meet him in 10 minutes. Chip's sister is playing the piano in the background, and she's like really annoying him.
Mm-hmm.
And Jennifer's on hold, and while she's on hold, she holds a lighter to her tongue and just burns her tongue like it's nothing.
But it like heals right away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? It blackens and then it heals. In here, the director pointed out that she put them all on three different levels, where Needy's on the second floor of her house.
Oh.
Jennifer's on the first floor of her house, and Chip is in the basement of his house.
Yeah. Like, what does that symbolize?
They were saying like different levels of people or parts of a relationship, or I don't know. I didn't get it.
Oh, okay. But, sure. I went over my head. I'll tell you.
Right. Needy tells Jennifer that she has to go, and Jennifer replies that she's a god.
Mm-hmm.
Needy says she's going to meet Chip, and Jennifer says that Chip is looking really cute to her lately, and then she proceeds to ask details about Chip's private parts.
Mm-hmm.
At the park, Chip tells Needy that he found out about Jonas, and he reports that Jonas's mother is out there just staring out like a zombie robot mannequin statue, which I thought was a really weird line. Needy thinks the events must be related, and Chip thinks it's just really bad luck, and then it can't get any worse. Needy's voiceover continues to tell us that time has passed and that everyone is still mourning, everyone except for Jennifer. The rest of the country couldn't get enough of Devil's Kettle's tragedy, and it seems that Lowe's shoulder continues to gain fame.
Mm-hmm.
And the song Through the Trees plays during this scene. The teacher comes in the classroom again and says it's been 1 month anniversary since the events that happened. Jennifer yells out, boring. Someone else in the class calls her a bitch. And then the teacher blames both Jennifer and Needy for the interruption. Like, Needy didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And according to the teacher, Lil' Shoulder is going to share money they make from their song Through the Trees with the victims of Devil's Kettle, a whole 3% of their profits. And Needy does jump in at this point. She's like, what about the other 97%? And she says that they're being crass, and then goes on to define crass as greedy, exploitative, scummy.
Yeah.
Needy tells them that they were there that night and they didn't help anybody, and they don't even know where that rumor came from. They're only using this to get famous and off of the tragedy of the people of Devil's Kettle. Mm-hmm. Chastity jumps in, angered about the comments. She tells her it's true because she saw it on Wikipedia. And after the bell rings, Needy says that she's really sick of that song, and Jennifer comments that it was poorly produced. Can the bass be any lower in the mix? Which is funny because the bass, this is the one that wrote the song. And then Needy notices that Jennifer looked really tired.
Yeah, that's code for you look bad. I've had people tell me I look tired, which just meant I wasn't wearing any makeup.
Oh, okay.
Now I don't wear any makeup anymore, so nobody says that. But it used to be, people would be like, oh, are you sick or are you tired? I'm like, no, I'm just not wearing any mascara. I remember
reading that in an article that said if someone tells you look tired, they mean you look like shit.
Oh, yeah. That's like a nice way of saying you look really bad.
So Jennifer, though, was very method in this acting. She lost a lot of weight, got down to 95 pounds.
Oh, wow.
For this movie. And then she avoided the sun for 4 months.
Oh, so she was super pale.
To get as pale as she could for the part.
Uh-huh.
And Jennifer says that she doesn't feel well, and her skin and hair make her like one of the normal girls. Out in the hall, Needy wants to know if Jennifer's PMSing, and Jennifer says that PMSing isn't real. It was invented by boy-led media. Needy looks at Jennifer confused.
Yeah.
Jennifer mentions that it's just wearing off, and Needy asks her, what's wearing off?
Yeah.
She doesn't know. Just then, Colin approaches, and Jennifer asks if she can copy his English homework again. He says he wanted to ask her something. She knows that he wants to ask her out. It makes him stumble in his words, but she tells him to go ahead with his pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So he invites her to a midnight showing at Rocky Horror Picture Show, and she says she doesn't like boxing. Colin leaves annoyed, and Needy comments that that was weird, and Jennifer's not really. I'm used to boys asking me out.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a maggot rock and wears nail polish. My dick's bigger than his. Mm-hmm. That's what she says. Like, oh my gosh. Needy says she thinks Colin is cool, and so Jennifer calls him back. She's
he's styled as like goth.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like maybe scene. I don't know. He's definitely gothy.
It's gothy. Yeah.
It's gothy.
So Jennifer calls after him because Needy says he seems cool, and so she tells him to stop at her place that night because she got Aquamarine on DVD.
What? I was like, what a weirdly specific movie. Very do you specific. Know what Aquamarine was?
I do. It's responsible for the meme of the two girls that are like, one's whispering in the ear.
Oh, I don't know.
I love this meme. Okay.
Is this like the one with
JoJo?
Yeah. Was it? Oh, yeah. She's like she's blonde. But there's like who's the blonde? I feel like, oh, God dang it, Margo. I can't remember anybody.
You're good. Let's look it up. We got time. It's got Emma Roberts.
Emma Roberts, that's it.
She's from Scream 4.
Emma Roberts, that's Julia Roberts' niece. But
really?
Yeah.
She's in like every season of, what's that?
Oh yeah, American Horror.
American Horror Story.
Yeah.
She's
watch.
A lot of that.
I'm sure you mentioned that before.
And then she's in Hunt. Have you seen Hunt?
No.
Uh-uh. Okay, spoilers for Hunt, if you haven't seen Hunt. She wakes up bound and tied. She doesn't know how she's get there.
Mm-hmm.
We're following her for a good 4 minutes, if not 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They find this crate. Oh,
I think
you
told me that. You've definitely told me about this.
So,
no, don't say any more. You're really spoiling this movie.
Okay, I'll stop. All right, move on.
I know what you're going to say, and I don't mind being spoiled.
Well, that's why you yelled spoiler. Okay, anyway. Okay, keep going. All right, so Jennifer says she will text Colin the address.
Yeah, well, so Needy says that she thinks Colin's really cool. And
right.
So then Jennifer's like, okay, well then I'll say yes. And it's unclear to me what her motivation's in that
She
case
seems
is.
To be going after boys that Needy likes.
Well, she doesn't like that football guy, though.
This is true, but she already commented that Chip's looking nicer to her every day.
Yeah, I guess so, because Needy said that. See, to me, what she's doing is getting rid of the competition with Needy, right?
Yeah,
anybody who might be stealing Needy's focus from her, except for that football guy. He's an outliner. I don't know about him.
Either.
Okay.
He just seemed vulnerable.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe she just doesn't like him. Who knows?
Yeah. Just then, Chip comes over to Needy, and Jennifer says hello in a flirty way, and this causes Needy to grab him fast and kiss him before Jennifer could do anything crazy, and Jennifer tells him to get a room. Chip mentions that she was talking to Colin again, and she clarifies that he was just asking out Jennifer, and Chip asks if she wants to come over later because he went to Super Target and bought more condoms.
I really loved that specific point of saying Super Target.
Yeah.
Do we have Super Targets anymore, or are they all just like Super Targets now?
I think they're all super targets now.
Because I remember back in the day at the like Renaissance, not the, yeah, whatever, the birth of Target, where you had like generic Targets, right, which had like clothing and whatnot in there. And then you had these super Targets that had like the grocery section.
Sure.
So I don't know if this movie like coincides with the like time where you were very excited to have a super Target or not. But I just thought that was really funny. He like drove out of town or whatever to go to super Target. And not to like say Walmart, right?
Yeah.
Like every town has a Walmart. No, super Target. I don't know. I just found it very funny.
I think it's funny. And then he's like, not that he only wanted her to come over because he got the condoms.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, oh, I didn't think that at all. And yeah. I'm like, sure. Later that night, they're in bed and Chip turns on music for the mood.
Mm-hmm.
I can see clearly by Screeching Weasels is playing,
okay.
Which is a more punk version of
oh,
of the
I
song.
Can see clearly now the rain is gone. That's right.
Right, because yeah, it's more punky. And we get Colin driving to meet Jennifer. Uh-huh. In this scene, he's singing along in the car, mm-hmm. like super excited because mm-hmm. he's, you know, supposed to be hooking up with Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
When the director told him, oh, I need you to sing. He's like, oh, I have a horrible voice. And she's like, perfect. Like, this is great because you're all alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you think you could sing to the top of your lungs and no one would hear you because you are super excited.
Yeah, real
in the
pumped.
Scene because yeah. you're hooking up with Jennifer.
Yeah.
So, of course, she'd be singing like this.
Yeah.
And he's like, so he did it,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
So, when he's driving up, we see the whole street is dark.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually fences. It looks abandoned.
Yeah.
In real life, they found a not finished neighborhood.
Okay.
They were still constructing.
Oh, it was in construction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that was pretty cool. We cut to the scene with Needy and Chip, and Chip says that the condoms he got were Slippery Swirl because it's supposed to make it feel good for the girl, mm-hmm. and Needy's like, cool.
Yeah. I thought it was so cute how, I don't know, they were just so, that was like a very cute scene between them, I thought.
Sure.
Chip and Needy.
Yeah, I think it feels like even she was, I mean, she was enjoying the sex.
Oh, yeah. She's very excited. It was very cute.
Yeah.
Like, what a wholesome sex scene.
Right.
Well, it's about to get less wholesome, but yeah.
Well, right. The other part of it is, so Colin goes into this completely pitch black house. There's one light up top, like he could see some light coming out, and he crawls his way into this house. Super creepy. He's going in because he believes Jennifer's there. When he gets there, he finds a room with all these lit candles on the ground, and Jennifer's there. He's like, this isn't your house, is it? And she's like, no, it's our house now, and we could play mommy and daddy. And then she starts to strip, and Colin wants to know if she even knows his last name. And she claims to have been sending him signals all year.
Mm.
When Jennifer and Colin start kissing, we see that Needy and Chip are kissing at the same time. As Colin and Jennifer are kissing, we notice that rats are coming all over
mm-hmm.
the room.
There's a lot of animals accumulating again.
So he's getting distracted, but then quickly Jennifer unzips his pants, then tells him, nice hardware, Ace, which is a funny joke. Jennifer's eyes then change evil, and Colin is scared. He backs away and cuts himself on some sharp objects that were behind him, and Jennifer uses the moment to break his wrist, and she says that she needs him frightened. And then while Chip and Needy are having sex, Needy starts seeing visions of Jennifer in this dark place. We see her crouching kind of like a bat or like a gargoyle on top of a Lazy Boy,
mm-hmm.
and Jonas, the football player, is dead in the Lazy Boy,
mm-hmm.
and she looks all creepy. Jennifer looks all creepy, covered in blood,
mm-hmm.
and then she starts kind of envisioning what's happening between Jennifer and Colin, and it gets really weird for her in the sex scene,
yeah.
because she's no longer enjoying it because she's seeing
this evil
what's
happening
vision.
From Jennifer's point of view.
Right, exactly. Why do you think she could see that?
I don't know, but did they have a psychic connection from the very beginning of the movie?
So I heard someone online say that they thought when they shared blood as a kid was supposed to signify.
Oh, because...
So that when they were kids and Jennifer drank her blood, that was supposed to give them some kind of psychic connection?
I don't know, because yeah, that's why I thought it was important that they mentioned it at that scene when Jennifer's coming to get Needy to go to the club or
right.
whatever, the tavern.
That's weird.
Yeah. So like, is this a new thing or is this something that's just like stronger because now Jennifer has these like powers or whatever?
So Needy starts freaking out as she sees Jennifer drinking blood out of Colin's stomach.
Mm-hmm.
It takes Chip a little bit to figure it out that she's not enjoying herself
yeah.
anymore. He, you know, when he finally realizes it, he pulls out, asks if it's okay, if he did something wrong. And then the funniest line, he's like, am I too big? Like the hope in his voice when he said that was hilarious.
By the way, I realized the actor who played Colin, where I know him from, Veronica Mars. I know everybody was really, really racking their brain. Like, how does Margot know that actor? There you go. It's from Veronica Mars.
Nice. She gets up. She doesn't tell Chip what's wrong. She just leaves. And when she gets in the car, Low Shoulders Through the Trees is playing off. And she turns it off favorite, so fast. She drives away crying. And it doesn't take long before Jennifer's standing right in front of her in the road. She swerves off the road. Jennifer's covered in blood. After she swerves, Jennifer jumps. And because Needy can't see her anywhere. And then just lands on her hood, cracking her mother's windshield.
Mm-hmm.
And doing just a lot of damage to her car.
Mm-hmm.
Then Needy drives home, and when she gets there, she starts calling for her mom, but her mom's not there, and she starts sleeping on the couch. She has dreams of Jennifer smiling with blood. When she wakes up, she goes to lie down in her bed. She never turns on the lights, and once she's in the bed, Jennifer goes, hi.
She's in the bed with her.
Jennifer starts screaming, turns on the light.
Needy starts screaming.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, Needy starts screaming, turns on the lamp, and Jennifer tells her, stop screaming. And here, Jennifer looks pretty normal again, like she's, you know, her old makeup self.
Mm-hmm.
Needy demands her to get out, and she says, hey, you know, let's share a bed like our slumber party days. And then Needy's like, hey, are you wearing my Evil Dead shirt? Like, I thought it was pretty cool. And this is where Megan Fox and Amanda Siegfried have their kissing scene. They, you know, Jennifer kisses Needy, and then they both end up on the bed, and Needy's kissing back for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then she, you know, freaks out and demands to know what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This scene was like, yeah, I think we've talked about, or no, I read an interview, I think with Diablo Cody, where she's like, it wasn't meant to show that they were like attracted to each other or whatever. It was supposed to show like the depth of female friendship or something. And I'm like, I call a little BS on this.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know that it was put in there. I don't think it was necessarily put in there for like a titillating scene as far as like Diablo Cody was concerned. Right. But how else do you interpret this scene?
Yeah, it's hard. Right? Like if they show it in the preview, it does. Yeah. Diablo Cody said that she was offended that people thought it was put there to attract boys to come watch the movie.
Yeah. But I mean, she wasn't, I don't think she was a fan of the marketing of that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. We can get into that too.
We can talk about that after, I guess, after we're done talking about the plot. Unless you want to talk about it now.
We can talk about it now.
Whatever.
I mean, yeah. One, like there was one email she sent somebody saying, hey, you need to market this to girls as well. It's a movie about girl empowerment and revenge for what men do with a woman's body.
Mm-hmm.
And the reply she got was Megan Fox hot.
Yeah, that's it?
Not a complete sentence.
Oh my gosh.
Megan Fox hot.
Oh my gosh.
Like that's what the marketing guy replied with. That's insane.
Yeah, I feel like I do remember seeing that trailer and thinking, yeah, it was just like, and I thinking that it was just like what was that? Whatever. But just like other movies that are trying to like just be like sexy or whatever.
Sure. Yeah, I can give that. Oh, Cruel Intentions.
Yeah, like Cruel Intentions or, you know,
because they had like a crazy kissing scene like that.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And while Diablo Cody was like, hey, you need to market this to girls, teenage girls as well, I think they should have been marketing it to horror fans.
Well, both. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, I think that's a market that they missed, because if you're like, hey, this is a monster movie.
Yeah.
Right. That, I mean, like, I just thought, oh, is she like a sexy vampire? That's what this movie was. And I never went to go see it.
Yeah.
Right. But I think if they would have, you know, made the whole trailer seem more horror.
Right.
Like, they might have gotten an audience they were looking for.
Yeah. But instead, they're just like, want to see Megan Fox make out with a girl?
Yeah, exactly. Like, exactly.
Yeah. But the intention of it, I'm like, if your intention was truly just to show how deep their friendship was, no. I've never had the urge to make out with any of my friends. So I'm just like, I don't think so. To me, a lot of the things they do is a little bit romantic.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember one of the cutest parts I forgot to mention.
Sure.
At the very beginning when they're at the band, that Jennifer's so excited to see the band, she like grabs Needy's hand.
Yeah, they hold hands.
That was so sweet.
Yeah. And they held hands until Needy looks over and sees how infatuated Jennifer is with Nikolai.
And then
she lets go of
her
hand.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was sweet.
To me, it was sweet, but it was also a little bit like, is this just friendship?
Right.
Or is this like a little more? And the other thing to mention though is that Jennifer grabs Needy's hand.
This is true. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the movie is Jennifer reaching out for Needy, not the other way around.
Yeah.
So anyway, okay.
No, it's good observations. It is a good observation.
But yeah, the making out, I'm like, why? why? And then I have to say, they like blow it off. It's not like, oh, we kissed. She was just like, what are you doing?
Yeah. She's like, I want to call the cops. And Jennifer's like, I have the cops in my pocket. Remember, I'm dating a cadet. Oh, no, she says, I'm fucking a cadet.
Yeah. I'm dating.
Jennifer says she just liked to explain something to her because they're best friends and they don't keep secrets. She tells Needy that the band are agents of Satan. And we get a flashback where they're arguing in the van over she's a virgin. And Jennifer thinks that telling them she is a virgin will get her out of the situation because she's no longer shocked and she's woke up.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh yeah, I'm a virgin. You probably want to find someone that wants to do it because it'd be really bad with me. So mm-hmm. find someone that likes to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer does try to escape. And this is where we first hear the ritual. The band ties her up and they light a torch. And one of the members, Dirks, questions if they should be doing this. And Nikolai asks if he wants to work at a coffee shop for the rest of his life or be rich and awesome like that guy from Maroon 5. They start the ritual, which he bought online, so it's gotta be real. And they stop to ask her name. Why does she give him the real name? I don't know. And he actually says Devil's Kettle in the ritual correctly. She asks why they're doing it. He's like, it's hard to make it as an indie band these days, and Satan's the only way to go. And Nikolai makes a joke about Dirk wearing her face in the end. Nikolai freaks out, and he's like, I'm just kidding. We don't need to wear her face. And they're using a Bowie knife. And he realizes that Jenny, like her name could be Jenny, and mm-hmm. they start singing the lyrics to like 8675309. And they're all like having fun singing this song mm-hmm. while they're stabbing her.
Yeah, just they're psychopaths. They just do not care.
And
yeah.
then he gets the Bowie knife that he's using and he throws it into Devil's Kettle.
The whirlpool.
Yeah. Right. So that it'll be gone forever.
Yeah.
To hide the evidence. The next thing Jennifer remembers is needing to find Needy, but she didn't want to hurt Needy, but she was so hungry. And that's when we find out that she found Ahmet and he didn't die in the fire. And then Jennifer ate him later that night.
Yeah. She just like came across him and then ate him.
Yeah. Ever since then, Jennifer knew how to become powerful is when she was full. She is unkillable. Jennifer stabs her arm and it heals right in front of Needy. Jennifer calls it some X-Men shit. Needy wants to know what she means by full and what about mom's car that you crushed and the fact that you were covered in blood and you didn't look human. And Jennifer says Needy needs to talk to someone about her issues and then brings up Chip. This is when Needy tells her to leave. Jennifer jumps from second story window and Needy looks out the window and Jennifer is nowhere to be found. Then Needy is at the funeral for Colin and there's a big memorial for Colin at the school. We have a voice over here talking about grief classes everybody's assigned to and that the spring formal, we see a sign that it's titled Through the Trees. It's taking place on April 18th. Needy goes to the school library and starts researching.
This is really funny.
Paranormal events.
She finds like a demonic sacrifice book in her school library.
In the very small occult section.
Yeah, like every school library
Hey, Buffy's library had an occult section.
Well, okay, but there's no watcher in this library.
It's been a week since that last night with Jennifer, and Needy hasn't been able to speak to her the whole time, or really anybody. Chip comes up to say that he bought the spring formal tickets and asks if she's made reservations at Cheesecake Factory. She tells Chip about the whole research thing. He thinks it's crazy that they would have occult books in their library, because yes, it is.
I agree.
He's trying to talk to her about going to the dance, and she's basically saying that, look, Jennifer's evil. She doesn't mean high school evil. And she explains the rules, basically the occult section that she found out, that they sacrificed Jennifer because they wanted to use her to become famous, which they are being famous now. But because she wasn't actually a virgin, the demonic power transferred into Jennifer, so she's now part demon.
Mm-hmm, right.
But the band still got what they wanted. Yeah. It's not necessary that it's a virgin, so, apparently.
Yeah, so like, why did it matter? To begin with. Yeah, I guess it didn't.
Well, what? Yeah, but somebody and give them demonic powers.
Now they can come kill you.
Now they can that's come true. Kill you. That's so that's true. Might be why it
yeah,
matters.
Yeah, that's not ideal, right. You know?
So Needy tries to give him evidence that something's wrong with Jennifer, which she tells him, like, look, when she hasn't eaten, she turns ugly. And then she's like, ugly for her.
Yeah. This is like, did you see the Barbie movie?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, there's a joke in there that Margot Robbie says something like, I don't think she exactly says I'm ugly or something, but something like that. So Barbie says like I'm ugly now or whatever, and there's like a voiceover that's like, if you want to make this point, maybe don't cast Margot Robbie in the role or something like that.
That's pretty funny.
Like, this is similar because it's like, okay, even with no makeup and like looking pale or whatever, yeah, Megan Fox is pretty good looking still.
Yeah, exactly. So Chip is asking like, is she breaking up with him? And she's like, I just can't have have you at the dance because Jennifer's trying to kill boys. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be like an all-you-can-eat buffet, this dance.
Yeah.
And he's like, but I paid $12 for this corsage. So, because he really wants to go with her. And to his eyes, she's just breaking up with him. He doesn't believe that any of this is real.
Yeah.
And he's just sad by this.
Well, because she's saying, I'm going to the prom, but you can't go. Or not prom, whatever it is. But you can't go. So, yeah, he doesn't get what's going on exactly.
So, we have a montage here of kids decorating the dance scene while Kiss with a Fist by Florence and the Machine is playing. Mm-hmm. Chip's mom gives him pepper spray. Well, you know, it's like he's like, ladies pepper spray because it's pink? Like, what does it matter? Yeah. But she points out that something out there likes boys. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I can defend myself, mom. I've been using the Bowflex. Like, it's so awesome. And you find out that Chip's mom doesn't know that Needy and him aren't going together. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, we're going to meet there. And then we see both sets of parents, Needy's parents and Chip's parents, taking pictures of them before the prom picture. We see Megan, who is looking sick again, put makeup on herself to try to look normal, to hide the fact that she's looking sick.
Yeah.
Which I think is funny because you get Megan Fox, who's pretty.
Uh-huh.
They're trying to make her look ugly and then trying to make her put on makeup to look pretty again, which is funny. Right. Then we see Needy at the dance. She's waiting for Jennifer to show up.
Let's just point out this dress that Needy is wearing. Over it's the like top. A weird 80s style, like prom,
poofy.
Full poofy sleeves, like the shiny, like, I don't know what fabric it is exactly, but that shiny 80s fabric. And I'm like, why?
Yeah, who would have sold that to her?
The movie doesn't take place in the 80s. Like, I don't understand why she's wearing that. Does she just not buy a prom dress? She just found, I don't know. They don't mention it.
Maybe it was her mother.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. They don't. It was an over the top.
Yeah. It's weird choice. Like, it's so weird and like out of left field.
So Needy's at the dance. She's waiting for Jennifer to show up. And
oh, wait. The other thing is, this is really funny, that when Jennifer is putting on her makeup, I noticed she has a picture of herself on her dresser.
She does. That's hilarious. That is funny. I forgot about that. Needy's at the dance waiting for Jennifer to show up. And Chip is walking through the park in the dark. The teacher comes up, stops the music. And he starts talking to them in a speech. We cut back to Chip. We see that Jennifer's behind him and then she's in front of him. She claims to have been calling his name and he says that he didn't hear her. We cut back to the teacher. He's talking about thanking the parents for all the food that the parents club had donated, but the real treat is about to come. And then Jennifer is leading Chip somewhere. We hear that Chip is concerned for Needy and Jennifer tells him the real reason Needy's been so sad since Colin died is because Needy and Colin have been boinking pretty regularly. And it's interesting because Chip kept thinking it was weird every time that Needy was talking to Colin.
Uh-huh.
So I think that Jennifer observed that and knew that that was an easy end to make him believe. He was already close to being worried about this relationship.
Yeah.
Now she just made his fears real.
Yeah.
And then back at the dance, their teacher tells them that Low Shoulder has graciously taken time out of their sold out national tour to play at their spring formal for free. And so then Low Shoulder starts playing Through the Trees. Mm. Needy senses that Chip and Jennifer are kissing and Needy runs in their direction.
She's like some kind of weird psychic connection.
She just senses
it. Jennifer. Yeah.
And she's running while the band plays on. Jennifer brings Chip to a pool with overgrown plants.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer tells Chip that she feels so empty and Chip says that he does too. Jennifer asks him to kiss her. Chip stops and says that he can't because it's just weird. And then Jennifer throws him in the water and starts to attack.
Mm-hmm.
When Needy makes it, she sees that Jennifer is already feeding off of Chip's neck. Needy jumps in to stop her, and Chip finally sees that Needy was right. He throws Needy his pepper spray, and it does stop her for a second. But then she spews out blood and then elevates her stuff in the air.
Oh, yeah. Now she can fly.
Right? Yeah, right? Chip says, she can fly. Yeah. And Needy goes, she's just hovering.
Yeah, it's not that good. She's just hovering. It's not
that impressive. Jennifer claims that you're always trying to undermine me. And I'm like, bullshit. Bullshit. Needy calls her a jerk and finally says it out loud. Jennifer was never a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
Even when they were little, Jennifer would steal all her toys and pour lemonade on her bed. Jennifer says that since she is now eating Needy's boyfriend, at least she's consistent. Needy asks Jennifer why she needed to go after Chip. She could have had any boy. Needy says that Jennifer is either trying to piss her off or just really insecure. And Jennifer says she's not insecure. How could she ever be insecure? She was the snowflake queen. And Needy tells her that was 2 years ago when she was still socially irrelevant and didn't have to take laxatives to stay skinny. I was like, damn.
Whoa.
Dude, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah.
And Jennifer says she's going to eat Needy's soul or eat the shit out of Needy's soul, something like that.
Yeah.
Needy said, I thought you only murdered boys. And this is where Jennifer says she goes both ways. Uh-huh. And then Chip impales Jennifer with a pool skimmer pole.
Yeah. And then he like flops over in a really funny way. Like he flops over.
Took all his strength to do it.
I don't know. It was like, it just kind of like made me laugh the way he kind of just like, falls down.
So Jennifer pulls out the pool skimmer and asks Needy if she has a tampon. And she's like, no. She goes, ah, what did she say? I thought you were bleeding or something like that. Mm. I don't know. She's
got me. I don't remember.
Jennifer saw, she goes, I thought I'd ask because Needy seemed like she may be plugging. That's what it is. Jennifer climbs out the window and Needy goes to Chip. Chip apologizes for not believing her. And Needy is trying to use Chip's cell phone, but it doesn't work because it was in the pool.
I feel like at this point he says something like, you look really beautiful or something. He and does. She's like, I don't. And I was like, so this... you know your dress is not
good. It's his dying words.
Yeah.
He says, you look totally hot in that dress.
Yeah, that's right. And she's like, no, I don't.
and that's where he dies.
Yeah.
And this is where we get Jennifer in her bed and she's looking at the yearbook, circling different boys in the yearbook. She wrote yum next to one of them. And this is the infomercial on the TV. Jennifer turns out the lights to the bed and we're back to the beginning of the film. Mm-hmm. Needy breaks through the window and attacks Jennifer on her bed. Jennifer yells, best friends forever, huh? And Needy replies that, you killed my boyfriend. Jennifer bites Needy and then Needy pulls out a box cutter. After cutting the X into Jennifer's body, Jennifer hovers again and the fight goes into the air. Needy rips off the Jennifer's BFF necklace and there's a flash of them when they're little in a sandbox. And this is when Jennifer falls to the bed. It's like her power got lessened when the necklace fell off. Mm-hmm. And then Needy falls and the box cutter goes into Jennifer and Jennifer goes, my tit. And Needy replies, your heart. And just then Jennifer's mother comes in to see Needy take the blade out.
Basically just murdered her.
It's a box daughter. Cutter. But it's a box cutter. And the way it's sectioned off, it should have snapped before going in past the bone.
Well, you're right.
All right. So then we get back. The flashback is over. We're back in solitary confinement. Someone puts food under the door for Needy and we see that she is floating in air during the scene.
Just hovering.
Just hovering. And she tells him a little known fact that most occult researchers don't know. If you get bit by a demon but don't die, you get some of the demon's powers. Mm-hmm. So I think they're implying that she gets powers without being possessed by the demon.
She doesn't have to like eat people.
So she's still a good person.
I guess, yeah.
We think. Well, right, yeah. I don't know, maybe.
What is she about to do?
So she kicks through the window and escapes.
Yeah.
Now, in the original script, this is where the movie ended.
Okay.
And you were supposed to imagine what happened.
Okay.
And test audiences were like, you just let the boys get away with what they did.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's more realistic.
Sure. So they filmed a lot of this afterwards. Yeah. So after she breaks through the fence, she sees a small stream. And we see next to the orange balls that the scientists were throwing down Devil's Kettle. We see the knife, the Bowie knife. And it's clean, like it's never been used before. Like it got washed completely clean. So she grabs that and then she goes to start hitchhiking. And we get this crazy guest appearance by Lance Henriksen, who's from Aliens, Terminator, Scream 3, Pumpkinhead 1 through 4. Okay. He was in Damien, The Omen 2. Uh-huh. I mean, the list goes on. He's like very popular. But it's crazy. He was in there for maybe 20 seconds in the whole movie. He asks her where she's going and she says she's following a rock band. And he says, it must be one hell of a group. And she said, tonight will be their last show.
Oh, yep.
Violet by Hole plays. Mm-hmm. And we get the scene of the band arriving at the hotel. They're signing girls' chests. Mm-hmm. They're partying in a room. They're doing some drugs. And then the band starts getting brutally killed.
Yep.
We have images of police collecting evidence. We see that Nikolai got stabbed with his own Bowie knife. It came back to him. We see the camera footage of girls running to the band as Needy walks away. When they get to the room, they're screaming. Mm-hmm. The director said the implication was, we can't tell if they're excited to see the band or not. I'm like, no, we just saw the dead bodies. I did not get that impression.
I don't know. But Needy got revenge for her friend.
It's good.
Yeah.
It was good. Oh, man. I wanted to ask you, did you feel like the voiceover worked for the film?
No, because I feel like it wasn't used enough or it was used too much. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't used consistently, I feel like.
I thought it was a little weird. I've heard, like, in college, studied movies.
Yeah.
They talked about voiceovers being lazy writing. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting. That, I don't know. It just felt a little off. Like,
yeah.
Like why? Sometimes we have it, sometimes we don't.
I don't know. I wonder if it was a way, because who is the main character in the movie?
It's supposed to be Needy.
Is it Jennifer or is it Needy? Yeah. So if you do like the voiceover, it makes it more of Needy because she's narrating the story. So maybe that was the point of it. But yeah, I don't think they
need it. Well, in the director's cut, there are more scenes that focus on Needy. Like during the fire scene, we get a lot of Jennifer looking at the fire and reacting to things.
Yeah.
But in the director's cut, it's all from Needy's perspective because she's the main character.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we kind of already talked about the marketing, right?
Yeah.
So a couple of notes I wrote down. I mentioned Devil's Kettle's real. It's a waterfall in Minnesota.
Okay. Great.
Let's see. Oh, Roman, who was Chris Pratt, originally had a bigger role, but they had to cut it down.
Oh.
Adam Brody ad-libbed that line in shitty areas too. Which funny. I thought was awesome. Frozen peas, which Jennifer said she had to sit on, is something that comes up in Diablo Cody's writing all the time, but she says it's not on purpose.
She just thinks about frozen peas. She does.
But it's become like a trademark. And she's like, I didn't mean it to be a trademark.
That's really funny.
But people point out that it comes up in her writing all the time.
Yeah.
According to the director, Karen Kusama, the horror of the movie lies in the message that over time we lose friends. And the scene where Jennifer goes off in the van is a scene that really drives that message home. Like, that was really scary to her.
Huh.
Like, I mean, I get it. It's awkward. Like, I mean, like, she's going into a possible rape van.
Well, yeah. Interesting. To me, yeah. I don't know. Like, the story is about this girl who gets sexually assaulted. Yeah. I mean, no, but that's right. The metaphor, right? That's the metaphor,
right?
And then gets turned into a demon.
Sure.
And then they're trying to say this is a movie about, like, female friendship, which it is, but I would definitely feel like whatever the metaphors are, they really got muddled for me.
A little bit. So that smile I talked about when we first see her as the succubus.
Yeah.
With that smile and blood everywhere.
Yeah.
The director said to her that smile was saying that when women are in abusive relationships or bad things happen to them, they're often complicit with their abuse. So the fact that she's happy about what happened to her makes that scene hard to watch for her.
Hmm. Yeah. I can see that for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. But yeah, the relationship between Jennifer and Needy was interesting. And I feel like it could have even been more centered than it was.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know. I guess it's like left up to the viewer's imagination.
I thought was weird. Both the writer and the director thought that what they called Jennifer's demon face, her hungry face.
Uh-huh.
Oh no, when she looked ugly.
Uh-huh.
Was her hungry face, right? They said they actually thought Jennifer was hotter that
way. Oh, but maybe in real reality or whatever.
Maybe. Like, well, they thought they found her more attractive when she looked ugly.
That's funny.
Quote unquote, which is interesting. So I know I talked to you about this, not on the podcast, but in a February 2016 interview of New York Times, they were talking about the marketing with Karen Kusama, who recalled that one of the marketing ideas was for Megan Fox to do live chats with amateur porn sites.
Oh.
And the director, Kusama, was like, absolutely not. Do not ask that of Megan Fox. You will crush her spirit.
I really feel bad for Megan Fox
in
general, but for this movie, because to me, she's thinking, okay, I'm going to get out of this, like, typecast. I'm going to get out of this typecast of just being like the bombshell actress. Like, I'm actually going to get to be funny. I'm going to get to, like, do... And I think she did a very good acting job on this. That, you know, and then the way it was marketed, it was like, oh, see Megan Fox be sexy. You know, when she's thinking, oh, I'm doing this, like, female empowerment, like, movie for women. And it's a horror and it's going to be cool. And then they're just like, nope, Megan Fox is just sexy. And I don't know. I just, like, really feel bad for her about that. That's kind of a bummer.
One thing that on the commentary they talked about is that all the members of Low Shoulder have a crescent moon tattoo somewhere on their body.
Mm-hmm.
And when they perform the ritual of Jennifer that night, there is a crescent moon about 19 minutes in the movie. And just as Needy returns home after the bar fire and she's calling Chip, there's a crescent moon decor that can be seen on the wall of her bedroom. And this is supposed to be foreshadowing of her own eventual possession at the end of the movie.
Sure. All these things go already out of my head.
But that's all I got.
Okay.
Anything else you want to talk about?
No.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to Nightmare Echoes. We have episodes every Monday, and we're on Instagram under Nightmare Echoes Pod. If you want to reach us out by email, nightmareechoespod@gmail.com. We're also on Reddit now. Nightmare Echoes Pod Reddit thing. So check us out.
Thank you. Bye.